Today, The Empire Strikes Back. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, working the latest posts covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined again by Robbie Barwick from the CEC. Hello, Robbie.
Hello, Martin.
So, it's interesting. Little bit of vibe around the place. The AFR creating a lot of heat, but no light, in my view.
I agree. Here's the print issue. There you go. Good. Do you like the photo they've...
Yeah, that's actually off our website. They didn't seek our permission to republish those images. Interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm. I'm surprised Mr. Patrick wasn't thorough enough to do that. They're also not very good at proofreading the print edition. I can tell you, it's a terribly atrocious job. they can't afford good journalists there, and they can't afford good proofreaders.
Yeah. Well, look. I mean, I thought the job of a journalist was to gather the facts, process them, think about it, and, you know, draw some insight and help people to understand how the world really is. That's what I thought a journalist was.
Yeah. Right?
That is not what we've seen in the AFR for the last 2 weeks with regard to the DFA and the cash ban thing. And essentially, they're throwing rocks, Robbie, because they know that this is a big deal and... you know, average Joe out there in the community gets it.
That's right. They know, they say in there that what we're doing is effective. They can see that. And so this character, Aaron Patrick's job, and he started off with you first last week, and now he's expanded it to us, John Adams, et cetera, in the cash ban fight. They have to rubbish our credibility. And they're not trying to convince the public. That's the key thing. They're trying to intimidate other journalists that have picked up this, right, such as from the ABC, et cetera. They're trying to intimidate them. They're trying to intimidate politicians that if you are seen to be taking up this issue, you will be associated with this smear that we're running, right? Because, you know, they accuse the CEC of being anti-Semitic, right, which is a terrible smear. That's why they use it, right, completely without foundation. And we call it the slander of last resort. Right. But why have they resorted to that? Because this is massive. And in fact, the last time we recorded, you and I, we talked about the 4,000 submissions to the Treasury. And now they're also constructing an excuse for the Treasury to censor those submissions by saying that they're abusive, they're defamatory. I'll tell you what they were angry. Hmm. That's what's getting through. I picked it up in Parliament all week while I was there. The politicians can feel the anger of the public. You said on the show the last time we recorded, this is too far. I had people saying that in my ear, this is too far, right? And that's what Treasury copped. And this, all of a sudden they notice this is massive. What can we do? You know, because we call it AFR, the banker's toilet paper. You know, they their job's there to wipe away their crap. And I've been reading Adele Ferguson's book. She got attacked by fellow journalists, including from the AFR, for the work she did that led to the Royal Commission. 2 years ago, the AFR slammed us heavily. Well, nothing like this, but they tried to, when they were fighting, the AFR led the media campaign against the Royal Commission because they're there to protect the banks. And that included attack on us then as well. And now... they would have hoped this was all over. That's the funny thing. You know, Royal Commission's out of the way. We dodged a bullet. The banks are happy. The public can just go and shut up now, you know, et cetera. The government's going to do what we want. And then we can only have the effect we're having because we're right about how the public feels. That's the point. We're right. You know, we're just saying to the public, here's what we know, and they're responding. We can't fabricate that. We can't make something out of nothing. It's there. It's real. And, oh, my God, what do we do now? Well, okay, we have to try and chop the heads off of this movement.
Yeah, well, you know, the old tall poppy syndrome, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, just a couple of observable facts, right? What is the relationship between the AFR, Channel 9, and Domain? All right, interesting question.
Yes,
Guess what? They're all aligned around the interests of property and finance, right? So in a way, they are actually talking their own book by talking up the property market and encouraging people to go buy, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, there is no disclosure in the AFR as to the relationship between the AFR and Domain, right? And when they quote all the information from Domain and other property sectors and, you know, start spruiking the market, there is absolutely no disclosure of their relationships, right? They are financially connected so strongly with the banking sector and the property sector. So there is nothing objective and independent about certainly some of the people at the AFR. And yet that doesn't actually seem to sort of pass muster, right, in terms of, you know, being raised and an issue. That's the first point. Second point is we didn't make this stuff up, right? The connection between cash and the cash ban and negative interest rates and the need to actually impose controls on cash came straight out from IMF work and from other work from international bodies. And indeed, in New Zealand, Adrian Orr mentioned this specifically, that actually it would be very difficult to control negative interest rates without actually thinking about how to control cash. So this is something which is actually well known around the world within finance circles and, you know, within political circles. So the fact that effectively that particular journalist, and I use the journalist in inverted commas because it's not actually a work of journalism at all, didn't actually get to that point, despite the fact that I provided them all the information to be able to actually draw the links, just shows how desperate they actually are. And the third point I just want to make, that I have never had, in all the time that I've been working in DFI and around this, more messages of support from people across the country, right, based on the fact that over 2 weeks now I've been basically hit over the head, you know, by the AFR. I said to somebody, water off a duck's back doesn't worry me at all, right, because I'm on to important stuff. It's driven off information, data, factual stuff. There is no bullshitting going on here. All the bullshitting is on the other side. So let's get that quite clear. So I'm just amazed and very gratified at the number of people across the online community and beyond who've actually sent me direct messages of support here. And we're going to continue this because it's a really critical issue. And as I said last week, thus far and no further, because it is back to the future of this country and the way that this country is going to be managed and, you know, whether we can and can't do things. And that's why this is so critical.
Yep. And what I found in Parliament, Martin, is a broad concern among backbench politicians about civil liberties. Even before I was there this week with Dr. Wilson Tsai, and we had all this evidence that the cash ban was not about really the black economy, and I want to mention something more, an update on that. But so we could prove all that, but they had already decided they were opposed to it because of this civil liberties question, right? Because people are starting to, it's building up too much. Journalists are getting raided in Australia, right? We have the surveillance state. We're arguing this is a financial surveillance state. People get that in the last 20 years, especially since this week was the anniversary of 9/11, right? The last 20 years especially, we've given up so much and achieved nothing. All the so-called war on terror, it's just got worse, all those things, right? But that's the change that's taken place, and people are starting to see through it. And therefore, if you're the regime pushing this agenda, right, the bankers' regime, that's what we have in Australia, bankers' regime over Parliament, you're pushing this an agenda, you're going to be very concerned about the resistance that's starting to build up. And I'm even loath to call us the leaders of it. We are leading it only by our virtue of we have certain information we can provide, the technology to do it through YouTube, etc. But I'm really, I'll give you one example. Look at the comments to Aaron Patrick, the author, the journalist, the quote-unquote journalist, on Twitter. He is being hit very hard by the general public, and they're not abusing him. They're just hitting him with facts, and it blows me away how well-educated their level of knowledge, right? Mm. That's what's out there now. And that level of awareness is not going to have the wool pulled over its eyes in a hurry.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, hopefully in some small way, the shows that we've done, you know, both collectively and individually, have been designed to share information in an objective, independent way, allowing people to make their own decisions. So we're not indoctrinating people as to what the right solution is. We're just saying, this is the questions you should be thinking about. This is the way to think about the problem, right? And people are jumping to their own conclusions, and they're actually putting it together exactly right. That, as you say, over the last 20 years, we've had civil liberties eroded, and there is more that they want to do to be able to cramp the sort of lifestyle that we've had. And I just, think when I first came to Australia 25 years ago, right, it was a breath of fresh air having come from the UK. And there was an air of, openness and independence and optimism, right? And all of that's got crushed in the last 20 years. And it's got crushed because of the way that the political overlords have actually, driven this. And in fact, what they've done is they've driven the life out of Australia. And it's really shocking.
Now, I want to make an important point because I want to brief you now on this week in Parliament. But the important point to preface it is this, what Aaron Patrick is doing, as I said at the beginning, is not he's not trying to convince the Australian public. Mm. And they don't read the AFR anyway. This is about intimidating the people in positions, important positions, like in the media, et cetera, who've picked up what we've said and amplified it. Yep. No, you can't, you got, intimidate them. Now, I don't know how it's going to work with other journalists. Some might work. Some of this stuff should be, as I see on Twitter, people complaining to Media Watch about it. I don't know how that would necessarily work. I do know, and with some parliamentarians, it's going to work because forgive me, they're gutless wonders. But that can be counteracted by what they're getting from the public, because what they've been getting from the public is absolutely extraordinary, right? And so, do not, as you, the viewer, because we're going to keep asking you to participate in this, do not be put off by that. Go harder, because politician is only going to not be intimidated by this if he's more intimidated by you. When I say you, I mean the general public, and that comes from numbers, right? Because we found we were able to win the arguments in Parliament. They had no clue. We found most politicians had bought into the idea that this was intended to eliminate the black economy. The cash ban was needed to eliminate the black economy. They just accepted that without question, right? They still had concerns about, they were prepared to weigh up cost-benefit analysis. Is that worth the attack on our privacy and deciding our privacy is more important? But they accepted that. And we said, don't accept that. So we had a chart that we used on our last show that showed Australia has the 10th smallest black economy in the world. And it's not a serious, we do not have a serious black economy problem, right? It's way overstated. And all the countries with cash bans in Europe that are well known, Spain, Italy and France have restrictions, heavy restrictions, and Denmark and Sweden are virtually cashless, right? All have bigger black economies than Australia. So that was taken from this study, the 2017 version of this study by Medina and Schneider. Well, they did a follow-up one the following year to elaborate more. It was on the same study. They just produced different figures. And the 2017 figures were an average over 15 years, right? So then they produced the figures in 2018 to show year by year the size of the black economy. And let me put it up on the screen and you can do an overlay too. That's Australia's black economy from 1991 to 2015. It's almost halved. Without cash bans, without any of that rubbish, right? We don't have a problem. We don't have a problem in this country that you would take away people's freedom and privacy to supposedly address. It's rubbish. And by destroying that, then people are forced to look at the ulterior motive. Just the journalists want to turn ulterior motive, the words ulterior motive, into conspiracy theory. No, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a provable ulterior motive. IMF says, negative interest rates, all that sort of thing. I have a saying, Martin, when journalists cry conspiracy theory, they're engaged in a cover-up. Right, because they should be looking for every conspiracy theory there is. That's their job, right? Find them all and test them. When they shut down something because of a conspiracy, they're engaged in a cover-up. Now, so this was successful, these meetings. The lay of the land is this. Everyone has felt the fury of the public, right? One really good bit of feedback. The best example of a call I heard was a member of parliament office got a call from a lady at a school to book him for a school function, and that's a normal thing, they often do that. So the staffer took the call, They sorted out the details. And then she said, and while I've got you, and launched into a 20-minute tirade against the cash ban while she's supposed to be working at school. And instead, she's going after him on the cash ban. And he told it, the staffer told us this, right? They copped it. We know the minor parties in general are, you know, most likely to oppose this. The only One Nation and Qatar has been able to come out, have been prepared to come out forcefully yet. The Greens, et cetera, they haven't come out yet. And the reason why is because this hasn't come out of the Treasury yet. So we've at least delayed it coming out of Treasury. They're reeling. They don't know what to do, right? So everyone was assuming this bill would be introduced this week. And no one's seen hide nor hair of it, and doesn't appear to be on the agenda at all. So it's already initially delayed. That's been achieved thanks to people making those submissions, right? And the subsequent phone calls. When it's produced and introduced, if that happens, presuming they go ahead with it, when that happens, then all the various groups will have their caucus meetings and decide their position, right? When that happens, I can tell you there will be big arguments inside the Labor and Liberal caucuses. That's a given, big arguments. And Labor has agreed that it will support a move to push this bill into a committee and have a thorough inquiry into it. Now, they could have achieved that anyway, but without Labor's support. But because Labor has agreed, and they haven't come out one way or the other on the bill, Labor backbenchers were telling me they opposed it. But because Labor has agreed to do that, they've given an undertaking to do that, that would be a better committee inquiry than, say, what we had earlier in the year on the Glass-Steagall bill that Jane Hume chaired, right? Because the Labor Party didn't hold them to account on that. So this could be a proper inquiry. And therefore, that delays the bill at least. I mean, I might be wrong, but I can't, as of where we stand now, I can't see them sticking to the deadline of this ban starting on the 1st of January. I think at a minimum, they're going to be forced to postpone that. But that inquiry can go anywhere because this is really quality material, right? Our objections to this are high quality, and people on that committee who share our view could call in all kinds of witnesses, right? And totally take the narrative, if you will, away from the government. And I'll give you one thing, that they don't even have their story straight. Because Josh Frydenberg was asked a question in Parliament on it, and he emphasised the revenue raising. That article today in the Fin Review emphasised the revenue raising of the cash ban, but Michael Sukkar said to Alan Jones on his radio show 2 weeks ago that I called in on, he said, oh, it's not about tax collection, Alan, it's about smashing the black economy. Well, get your story straight, right? So a committee inquiry will show all that up, right? And so that's where we stand now. That is going to happen. What happens beyond that, we don't know. But what we do know is the more that we do things, the more we respond to what's happening, and people are prepared, our viewers, like watching the show, are prepared to take action, we can magnify the success we've already had.
Yeah, so it's important to keep going, and you know, if you haven't made those phone calls, make those phone calls. Just keep hectoring them, because essentially, the more people who actually express their concerns about the civil liberties and about, you know, where this is going, the more it's going to actually hurt. And you might be just interested in something here, Robbie. You know that New Zealand actually had a consultation around the future of cash in New Zealand, right? Yes. Well, I heard today that they had 2,800 submissions to their review, right?
Whoa.
So, and you know, if you think about the population of New Zealand, yeah, you know, that's a lot of submissions. And we did actually cover the New Zealand consultation on the DFA site a week or two before it actually was due. So we may have had a little help there. But what's interesting is that in New Zealand, what they're now going to do is to come back and do a more detailed consultation about specifically, quote, their concern that a large number of people in the community would be disadvantaged if cash was less available or in some way controlled. Right?
Good.
Very, very powerful. Yeah.
No, absolutely. They will. And that's half of the feedback we're getting.
Yep.
This idea, I mean, Stephen Jones personifies the idiocy of the politician's default position. When he was first asked, he said, I don't use cash. No one uses cash. So why does it matter? That was so ignorant, it wasn't funny, right? Yeah, young millennials don't use cash they haven't got into it, you know, wave their card around, probably mum and dad are paying for it. I went to an event at my school, my kid's school yesterday, and one of the food trucks said, oh, please don't use cash. Can you use your card? You've got one of those little, white plastic. And that's good, convenient technology and all that rubbish, right? I mean, I get that. But there's a whole other segment of the population out there, and they're usually older and they're usually regional, right? But even not even that, can't even make assumptions about that. They still use cash. They have all kinds of reasons why. And it's cash that's legal tender. And anything not cash is in some way under the control of a private corporation. There is no public version of it, right? Cash is legal tender. It's entirely you and individualistic. That's your individual, and it has the government's imprimatur on it, the nation's imprimatur on it. Anything else, you're in a private system, and they can exercise some form of control over that. And a lot of people have either moved to the technology or they're concerned about that, justly so. And it's none of anyone's business. As I point out to one, I know from the local thing here, the local politician's response here, there are, this is an Italian-Greek area, our electorate, right, Coburg. Lots of Italian nonnas with lots of cash stuffed in mattresses, and it's their right to. You can say it's not wise, but it's their right to, right? They've accumulated over years. They'll leave it to their kids, and it's nobody's business. And this is... those are the people that are starting to get wind of this and make complaints, So they all will all be severely disadvantaged. Farmers also, in fact, our feedback, I think you probably had the same feedback as me. National Party MPs, we know, are feeling the heat from farmers in Queensland.
Yes.
Right? Farmers, because they use cash and that's their right to.
Absolutely. And so, it comes back to this fundamental civil liberties issue, right, which is, of course, where I come back to, because ultimately this is a further erosion of people's freedom to do what is perfectly legal at the moment, right? It will become illegal, and that is why this must be resisted. So we'll continue to pressurise. That change.org thing is still running, right?
Yeah, change.org is definitely running. Please go and share. The main thing with change.org is share it repeatedly, right? Every couple of days, if you're on Facebook, every couple of days on Twitter, it's worth doing. I will say, and you might want to say this, don't donate to change.org if you think that's donating to the campaign. It's not. That goes to change.org. If you like the idea of supporting change.org, that's fine. Go ahead and do that. But understand that people have asked me about that, but that doesn't undermine the effectiveness of that campaign. That's actually quite good, very useful. One more point from me, that I like making with this is on top of just the privacy, if you want banking reform, we need to stop policies like this, because these are designed to keep supporting the way that the system is keeping the banks tottering along, propping them up, et cetera, and it gets harder, so they have to come up with more extreme measures to do it, such as a cash ban, right, lock us into the banks. If they don't have those measures available to them, they'll have to, at a certain point, stop and go, that's not working. Negative interest rates aren't going to save us. We have to have a fundamental reform, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is more about saving your own privacy. That's very important, and your own money. This is very important for the future of the country. Right, we need to make these reforms happen.
Absolutely, and it's worth underscoring that overnight, of course, that the European Central Bank took their negative interest rate further south. Trump has called for negative interest rates in the US, and we know that in the US there are people now looking at a $100 note that effectively degrades over time. If you don't spend it quickly, it then becomes a $95 note or a $90 note, right? That is how stupid, how extreme, how idiotic the central banking system is, and why the banking system needs to be reformed.
Yeah, it's got to stop.
It is more and more Alice in Wonderland. And Robbie, before you go, just one final thing. Please note my khaki shirt, right? Worn expressly today for Mr. Patrick's benefit.
There you go. Very good. Mr. Patrick thought that somehow that shirt undermines Martin's credibility in the world of high finance. It means he's the only one willing to go in there and not dress like a penguin for the bankers. So, yep. Good on you, Martin.
And my backpack had the camera because I was making a show at the same time. So there you go. Robbie, thank you for your time today. We'll keep the audiences up to date with the developments because I think this will continue to move. I wouldn't be surprised to find yet more bad journalism ahead. But, you know, we'll just keep batting because this is such a critical issue, isn't it?
If it is ahead, enjoy it. They're freaking out. Right? They're losing control. They'll rant. Rumpelstiltskin jumping up and down like crazy, you know. Yeah. But that's good.
Yeah, it is. It's all part of that's how change happens. Change for good. Thanks, Robbie. See you later.
Thanks, man.
Cheers. So there you have it, the latest on the cash ban. And this is a really important issue. We're not going to let go of it. Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching. And I'll see you again next time.